12:01. I'm out of here. It's so good to worship together in community and be with friends and trustworthy people. We're so grateful to be able to do that together and journey together. Let's come to God in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we sing of your kingdom come and how we long for it. Not only a future kingdom, Lord, but a kingdom that is now. We see your hand at work in so many things. As we give thanks for our offering, Lord, we recognize that so much of what we do is about your kingdom. The choices that we make, the places that we go, the friends that we seek, the givings that we give, Lord, they reflect our desire for your kingdom. And so we pray that you would continue to lead us in your will by your grace. And Lord, we recognize that we've had some struggles in the past week, that we've faced certain different realities, that we've left ourselves vulnerable. And Father, we ask that you would just come into that space, that you would bring your hope and your healing, and that you would continue to unfold your desire, your will, and build your kingdom. Almighty God, we say that in full trust that you are the God who continues to redeem and restore and call people to yourself. Heavenly Father, we pray for each person who is here and watching online. You know the journeys that we have taken. You know the path that we are on. You know our joy, our struggles, our sorrows. There too, Father, would you enter in and bring your peace, bring your knowledge, bring your hope, bring your healing. Lord, we are so grateful that peace talks around the world continue. We are so grateful for those who are leading the various countries of this world. Not for one moment do we take for granted the stress and the burden that they carry. We pray that you would uplift them, that you would grant them wisdom, and that you would give them great insight to lead this world to peace, to protect their people, to bring about justice. Father, we pray that for our local community leaders as well. Would you be with the people in this town? Recognize, Lord, that there are so many people who are making changes as they move here, as they leave behind neighborhoods and friends and family, as they try to make a new life in their homes here. We pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would call them. We pray that your love may reach them. Gracious God, we pray too this morning that your word may be anointed, that we might hear of the hope of Jesus Christ, that we might wallow in that hope. Would you bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart? And would you strengthen each and every one of us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite our scripture readers forward.
Revelations 21, 1 to 4. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You're welcome to open, I believe it's page 981, Psalm 146. We'll be referring to that one a few times, and we'll be reading it together at the end. So we've been talking about abundance these last number of weeks. Abundance is all about having more than enough, an overflow of God's providence, of grace, of wealth, of years. God's abundance has transformed our Christian life through Jesus Christ. And transformed, we graciously share that abundance to bring hope to this world. Hope, you ask? Hope in what? Hope for what? Have you looked around? I mean, last week alone, drones were flying over other countries and dropping bombs. Machine gun fire is rung out in Russia, Ukraine, Gaza, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, to name only the ones that are hitting the papers. Hope, you ask? In the midst of domestic, sexual, gang, or mafia violence. Hope for the environment where animals, insects, and birds have lost their population over 73% in the last 6 years. Really? Hope? Where we personally have experienced struggle in our health, our relationships, our addictions, our finances, our self-worth, our identity, or mental health. The world just feels out of balance. It feels like there's so much evil. How elusive doesn't hope feel? It's like hanging on to a wet bar of soap. Seeking or practicing justice and mercy feels like walking up a sand dune. You take two steps forward and you slide three steps back. Our best efforts, it seems, internationally, nationally, locally, within our own church, or personally, feel futile. We feel burnt out trying to live for hope. We're exhausted from trying. Hope feels like a scarcity rather than an abundance. I mean, we vote for a prime minister, a premier, a pastor, an executive director who's going to turn things around. We count on a core worker or a family member to support us, and they all betray us. It's evident, is it not, that putting hope in people and systems and institutions fail? In whom can we hope? Well, for the writer of Psalm 146, it's a no-brainer. Verse 3, don't put your trust in princes or immortal people, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. But blessed are those whose hope is in the Lord their God. Now, of course, for ancient Israel, this was kind of a controversial thing to say to some degree. Their national identity is, or was, maybe still in part, is intertwined with their religious identity. That the judges, the kings, the prophets and priests who were appointed by God and anointed by God were the ones in whom they should put their trust, but they failed. In fact, every single king of the 10 tribes of Israel, not one of them was righteous. And of the 42 kings that Judah had, only 21 were said to have followed the Lord, and some of them have a little disclaimer like, but they left some of the idols up on the hills. See, Psalm 142 says, but my hope is in the Lord, no matter what comes. In fact, the psalmist reiterates this 12 times. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It's like he's almost trying to put it in his own head. Don't forget, who is your hope? It is the Lord who enacts justice and mercy. Forever the Lord remains faithful. He upholds the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He sets the prisoner free, gives sight to the blind, lifts the bowed down, loves the righteous, watches over the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. All these things the psalmist knows. This is what the Lord does. Praise the Lord, in him we trust. In him we find hope. Well, yay. Okay, God's going to take care of everything then. We can just stop trying to climb that sand dune with futility, or maybe we can just stick our head in the sand like an ostrich. Let the world go by. Wait until we jump right into Revelation 21 when everything is going to be great. Should we do that? Are we called to do that? Should we build our own private communes and our high fences to protect us? Shall we stop socializing with people and just play on our devices and bed rot? Should we sit at home and protect ourselves from all the people who disappoint us and trust in no one or nothing, or just ignore the world of dysfunction? Should we do that? Absolutely not. You see, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are the Lord's people, the Lord's children, the redeemed, the transformed. We know the end of the story, right? God wins. God is winning. The Lord's faithfulness is forever. As God transforms this world, he is doing that. He will serve justice on all evil. He promises that. The Lord is hope. The Lord is our hope. But don't forget, we are the hope bringers. Did you catch that grammar? That hope is both a noun and a verb. The Lord is hope. It's another name. The Lord gives us hope. It's a noun we possess. The Lord brings us hope. That's a verb. We are his hope bringers. That's the action that we live out. Hope is what we witness in baptism when God seals that adult or that infant, a promise to always carry those whom he baptizes, those whom he seals. But whether you're an adult or an infant at your baptism, you just don't by osmosis absorb the hope. Unless the parents, the church, the rest of us teach them, walk with them, share with them our hope, the abundance of hope that we have, and share it with others and live into that reality of hopefulness. See, then those who are baptized, those who show up at church, will witness transformed lives. They can either hear from God's people about all the dismay and the lack of, well, God didn't do it, or they can hear of our hope and live into it as they see us living into it. A life that is reformed, not just Presbyterian reformed, but reformed, made new, living, active, in hope, continually renewing and becoming more and more like Christ. That's living hope. Revelation reveals that beautiful picture, not of God having replaced the world, but of God having renewed it, transformed it, so that once again, there's no barrier at all, not even sin or death or shame, that will separate us from God. We'll be with him. And I've said it 100 times before. What is that eternal life? What is that new earth? It's to know God and the Son whom he has sent. That intimate relationship will be so satisfied. But here's the thing. We're not just ostriches with our heads stuck in the sand and we're hoping that we'll get to know God over here. No, we already know him. He's already living inside of us. We already have a foretaste of that beautiful relationship. And so even now we taste what Revelation says. God's dwelling place is among his people. And he will dwell with them right now in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. They will be his people and God himself will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying and pain. And the old order of things have gone away. See, God has already started that transformation in the work of Jesus Christ. He's already told evil, your time is limited. And you can't touch my children. Matthew 24 says, all kinds of people will be deceived, even those who believe him. And it has this beautiful thing, I love it, as if that were possible. See, God's got you. We're already living into this, and yeah, we're waiting where we don't have that pain. But on the other hand, we already know that even death has no victory or sting. Living hope. It's an active verb. So how does that play out? How does it manifest through our lives? What's the practicality of hope? And at first, the first three drafts of this sermon, I listed a bunch of things. It looks like this. It looks like that. And then I could just imagine hearing you say, well, I've tried. Well, I've done that. Well, no, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. Living hope is where you find that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's going to look maybe a little different for each and every one of you. So I saw this beautiful blog, a testimony really, from a man called Shannon Jacobs. And I want to do him justice, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. So I did just kind of... He writes this. I grew up without religion. I was spiritually distant and viewed God as a remote figure reserved for crisis. Although curious about church, I remain uninterested, seeking meaning instead through academics, achievements, and relationships. Despite success, emptiness persisted, leading to a search for deeper purpose during a dark time in college. Everything shifted upon meeting David, a Christian peer whose kindness and calm demeanor sparked my curiosity. Hesitantly, I accepted his invitation to a Bible study, and I was deeply moved by the personal stories of God in people's lives. I heard about Jesus not just as a historical figure, but as someone who transforms lives. This encounter prompted me to read the Bible, through which I discovered Jesus' compassionate nature and profound teachings about love, forgiveness, faith. Gradually, I dared to darken the door of a church and joined a Bible study. I can't explain it. But I started to feel an internal transformation. The pride of doing life on my own lost its grip, replaced with a yearning for deeper connection with God and with others. And after praying sincerely for the first time, I experienced profound peace and assurance, being fully known, fully loved. This inner shift changed my life. From task-oriented priorities toward living for a relationship, fostering patience and compassion, and a service mindset. My career decisions became faith-led rather than ambition-driven. Every decision was made trusting God's guidance, even those very difficult choices. Although challenges and doubts persisted, leaning on scripture, prayer, and community provided strength. The joy of my faith, my relationship with God, bubbled up in abundance, you might say, and inspired me to share this new freedom What began as skepticism turned into a vibrant relationship with God. In hindsight, I recognize how every step, even the struggles, pointed toward transformation. See, Christianity doesn't just offer rules, it offered purpose, freedom, and enduring hope. With Jesus at the center, my life is forever changed. I couldn't trade it for anything. Shannon's journey from darkness into living hope began not with grandeur, not with having accomplished great things, not from a conversion that he went from nothing to being spectacular. It happened in his everyday life through moments of a friend's encouragement, a gentle hymn, a scripture, a prayer, humble service, through discipline. He discovered the liberating power of hope in Christ and the Lord. He learned that disappointment and guilt and personal failure weren't weights he had to carry alone. Instead, by releasing control and letting God shape his heart, he cultivated a deeper trust, and it produced purposeful action. My dear friends, living hope is not a distant ideal. Living hope does not die when visions that we have are gone. Living hope doesn't die when we don't meet the same way that we have. Living hope is transformative force that dismantles the power of sin and sorrow and death. It brings healing into broken spaces across the globe, into our neighborhoods, our families, and ourselves. It's there. It always has been, or else there wouldn't resound still to this day the name of Jesus Christ. He holds power. He holds hope. Hope shows up in how we serve, how we forgive, how we praise, how we remain faithful. Hope brings justice in the way that we bring meals or kindness. Living hope isn't passive. It's a practice of our everyday life, not just here, but everywhere. What people hear from us, what people see in us, that's what brought Shannon hope. Let's close and join with the psalmist of 146, reading every other verse. I know we've already done parts of it, but let's do it again. And just with the psalmist, let's keep declaring, it is the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord in whom we put our trust. You guys do the even verses. I'll do the uneven starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plants come to nothing. Blessed are those whose hope is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that in the midst of our disappointments, our lack of energy, even our loss of hope, we know without hesitation that you are God. And we know that you've got that, got us, you've got this world, that you are continuing to redeem and transform, that you continue to grow your church through faith, through hope, and through love. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would restore our hope. May our trust be in the Lord. And remind ourselves and see for ourselves your faithfulness, your goodness, your presence. We pray that even now you will heal those places where we have felt discouraged. And build trust that your name forever and always will continue and be lifted high. To you be the glory. Amen. Let's sing of "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less." Lift up your hearts and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with abundant hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.